I want to say hello to Sean, Lady Sinea, Lucine, Mirage, Dwartworth the Holy, and my uberly friend, and also United Noobs in Cleveland. And you're listening to Gilcast, only podcast that teach you how to beat Loudon Swain. And this has been Chio.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 61st episode of Guildcast for January 7th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. On this episode, Lady Sinea and I got together to read over a few emails, and I'm very pleased to announce that this is probably the best quality Skype recording we've done yet. She has broadband now, so there's no more of that slow talking or the broken up voice like it was before. And there's actually no delay either for the win. But before we get to the emails, though, there's some news to go over. Some players who asked to be mentioned this week include Sneaky for the win, or FTW, Arrows, which is two words, and Carlos Deldermore. Winter's Day has been extended for those who may have missed the quests or the games of the event. Of course, the headpiece giveaways won't be there, but everything else will. It will now officially run until 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday, January 11th. The reason for this extension is not simply to appease the people who may not have had a chance to attend the festivities, but it goes much deeper than that. For those of you who have paid attention to more than just the candy cane shard drops or where your snowballs landed in the arenas, you'll know that Winter's Day was actually the battle between Duenna, who fought to end the frigid Winter's Day conditions and bring spring back to the lands, and Grenth, who vowed to keep the cold in place as long as possible. Well, it turns out this year that Grenth actually emerged victorious, prompting the extension of Winter's Day and the delay of spring. So take advantage of the extra time and have yourself some fun. I wanted to announce something that I've decided to start doing recently, thanks to the advice of a few people on the forums, and this concerns the availability of new guildcast.com email forwarding addresses for all listeners. When anyone donates any amount of money to Guildcast via the PayPal link on the main page, that person will get their very own @guildcast.com email address. So let's say your character name is Bert Dragonslayer or something. You could get Bert Dragonslayer at guildcast.com, or you could just get Bert at guildcast.com, or whatever you like, within reason, of course. I won't allow vulgarity or anything like that, since it still carries the guildcast.com name. But, you know, I was thinking maybe this could be something that you could use as an alternate gaming email, or, you know, whatever you choose. So here's some details for getting your own email forward address. Number one, this is just an email forward. So it simply will act as a way for people to email you, and it will automatically redirect the email to your own email. Now this is good because you won't have to have another email address to check. It'll still go to your current address. And there's no way for me to access any of these emails and read them or anything like that, so it'll go directly to you. What you do is you simply click on the PayPal link on the right-hand side of the guildcast.com main page. You log into your PayPal account, or sign up for one if you don't have one already, and you just donate any amount at all. I believe the minimum is like $2 US dollars or something like that, but I'm not positive. And then in the notes part of the donation, you simply put your desired name at guildcast.com and then list the email address that you'd like to have that email forwarded to. It's just really that simple. Everyone who's previously donated to Guildcast will get their option to have an email address without donating again, so they can simply just contact me with their desired name and forwarding email, and then I'll set them up ASAP. The reason I can do this now, and the reason I am doing it in the first place, is I've recently changed my hosting server, and so I have a ton more space and a ton more bandwidth and plenty of extras, but of course none of this is free. You may have noticed last week there was some various downtime with the site itself, and especially the forums. Now, hopefully, this is all completely behind us, the downtime, because I now have a more stable host, and get this, they actually have a competent support team. Yeah, I'm not used to that, so this is quite a treat. Before it was like, hi, support? Yeah, my site is down and my email is down, and what should I do? Hello? So, granted I didn't just jinx everything just now, I hope everything works out a lot better with these guys. And I'm not going to say who they are until they sponsor me. I'm just kidding, of course. It's GoDaddy.com. And I think just about every major podcast out there uses GoDaddy, so let's hope they live up to their reputation. And as I said a few shows back, this one here, number 61, will be the last of the every week shows. From now on, or at least for a while anyway, until I change my mind again, we're going to go to a more relaxed format of releasing shows, probably every other week or so, or whenever we can. So the next week's show topic, I'm not completely decided on yet, but it probably may actually be the Dervish Profession Show. And I'm not sure if I'll do it like a profession show that I've done before on just facts and figures, or maybe one where I get a listener on to talk about their experiences. But if I do that, though, I'll make a post about it in the Guildcast forums to announce that I'm looking for another person or persons. In fact, if the show's format stays less frequent, I'll do more of my communication with listeners through the forums themselves. In the future, I know I'll not only need other people to get on Skype with us for topic discussions and more Skype cast shows and things like that, but I'll also need more actors and voices for my Guildcast Theater episodes. So look for me to post some sign-up lists for things like that too when I'm actually ready for it. Anyway, enough of my jabbering. Let's get on with the Skype show. These emails go back to, for mine at least, they go back to December 5th. So these are exactly a month old, all the emails that I got throughout the month of December. So I'll just go in order, and I'll start. Some of them I'm going to paraphrase like I usually do, or not so much paraphrase, but just kind of skip through. A lot of times people will email me more private messages, I guess, and I kind of skip over those. And then sometimes people will email me, you know, longer emails, and of course I'll try to sum those up a little bit.
We want to hear all of your private messages.
Those are private. Actually, they're not that interesting, so.
Aww.
No, it's, I just mean like, about the guild or whatever, like that.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, so this first one is from, he doesn't have a in-game name, but his name is James. And this is from the 5th of December. And he wrote me a couple times, actually. Well, first he wrote me asking about putting in the show notes what's going to be in the next week's show, because a lot of times he might miss it in the actual show itself. You know, at the end when I say next week's show is going to be about this, he's asking if I could put it in the show notes. And I actually started doing this since I read his email. And and then later on in the email he says, "The following is not a criticism, so please do not take it that way, but I would say the majority of your content is tailored to non-veteran players or current news and events, which veteran players stay up on anyway. Because of this, I find myself not paying attention to parts of the show. I realize this is not your fault, as you want to target the greatest majority of listeners. So I ask a favor. Pepper the interest of the veteran players. What I would find really interesting is, say, a short segment now and then focusing on advanced builds, for example. You could actually fill a few months worth of shows if you just went into a particular farming build and how to use it. Builds outside the 55 monk take, for example, the Warrior Beach Farmer or the 55 Necro. Talk about how to build them, what skill set is needed, how to use the skills, and where to use the build. I know all this info can be looked up online, and most veteran players know how to get the info, but like I said, I'm not a forums person." It goes on a little bit more. Now, this is something, I read this a month ago, and I did do a farming episode since then, and I have heeded the advice of him and many other listeners who have said that they would like to hear a farming segment of the show, and I actually started doing that. But I just wanted to point out that he, among other people, are very interested in that sort of thing. That's the main reason why I set that up. But he also, later on, he suggests like a build of the week and go into some depth about what it's used for, where and why to use it, how to use it, and how to set it up. Examples would be Shock Warrior, Shutdown Mesmer, the Boon Prot Monk. The idea is not to focus on one particular class, which you did in the early days, but on one particular build. You should even cover the standard builds for the new and not-so-new players, just in case there is an aspect about the build veteran players were not aware of. So, I wanted to see what you thought about this. I know when I first started Guildcast, it was a lot more towards the beginners, you know, starting players and everything, and I think I've held true to that. But what do you think about getting into more advanced avenues of the game?
Well, you know, you did promise that you weren't going to explain what is a salvage kit in one of the early episodes, and then you did one day.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, specific farming builds go, we have done that a couple times, mm-hmm. like when we had the Tombs episode, or when we had UW. That one went very in detail with, you know, your description of the trapping builds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of been situational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to, like you said, pepper it a little bit with some more advanced features, you know, to talk about for the veteran players. But there's a lot that I really, honestly, I would feel funny talking about, like the Domain of Anguish, for example. I haven't even been, I mean, I've tried doing the Domain of Anguish, but I've been so busy with other stuff. You know, I've been interested in doing other things in the game, like getting my other characters up to Vabi. I'm basically trying to get every one of my characters up to Vabi and then get all their heroes up to level 20. And I know that, you know, that takes a while. And I haven't really had the interest to go to the Domain of Anguish. But, you know, I'm sure one day I'll be like, hey, I want to go try that Domain of Anguish. So a lot of times the shows are tailored around what I feel interested in doing at the time or what I've experienced in the game, and then I'll say, hey, I think I'm going to make a show about that. So to get the really high-level stuff, I haven't, I hate to say it, but I really haven't done a lot of it, like even the elite missions in factions. You know, we dabbled with those a few times. You know, you and I did too, but it's just, it wasn't really something I was interested in doing all the time.
Right. Well, I think his request is not mainly about elite missions or high-level content, more like advanced builds.
Yeah, yeah. I was just using that as an example of you know, some of the higher-tier things in the game.
Sure.
But, yeah, I see what he means about the builds themselves. It's just really hard to cover so many different things. You know, I get requests all the time for people to say, hey, can you talk more about the basic things? You know, you talk too much about these high-level things. I don't even know what you're talking about. Can you please talk about what is a salvage kit, you know? So it goes both ways, you know, both sides of the spectrum.
Right.
And it's kind of a hard medium to cover all aspects of the game. But I did originally build the podcast as a beginner's podcast, you know. But I'm certainly getting more into the more advanced areas of it, especially with builds, too.
Sure, yeah. And did you, I know you posted on the forums saying that you might start focusing only on just a few characters rather than all, however many you have.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Because what I do right now is I have one of each class, and I'd like to have a main. Like on my second account, I would say my main is my elementalist. I really, you know, I love playing at elementals. But then I also have my ranger on that account, and I love playing a ranger. So it's hard to pick a favorite on that one. But then on my primary account, I have everything else basically, and it's hard to pick just one. But I was debating whether to do, like I said, bring each one up to Vabi, or just pick one and get a skill hunter title and treasure hunter title and all these big titles or goals, these big goals for one character, because I'd really like to do that. And when I think about someone who's done something like that, I always think about Loudon. Because didn't he say he's like 7.7 million experience on his monk? That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My monk's got like 5.5.
Yeah, that's way more than I have on one character. Because I just spread it out so much, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, I do both. I have, you know, 6 characters. And I have all those titles on my monk. And then, you know, recently I got 5 characters all through factions, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's fun when you can play all the different characters and learn more advanced builds for each. Because, you know, you can get bored with a single character pretty easily if you don't try anything new. So
yeah,
the reason why I asked you that was if you did start focusing on just a few characters, you would probably have more content to go, you know, more in-depth in more advanced builds if you started focusing on just a few.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. And I just don't know which one to pick or which ones. That's the problem. Because I think I do get, you know, like someone has said before, gamer ADD, you know, where you get... I don't think I could just stick to one class because I would be like, hey, I haven't played my Mesmer in a while. You know,
right.
So I don't think I'll change there.
Yeah. And then, oh, there was one thing I disagreed with was that the advanced players already get all the news already. I totally disagree with that because, you know, I don't keep up with the news. And there have been times, even in the past few months, that, you know, I heard something new and it was because you said it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the place that I get information from is from talking to other people.
Yeah.
So honestly, I really do get the word on the street. That is how I find out about things. And, you know, I just don't like visiting a whole bunch of websites to get information. So I do think that's still valuable to a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with the success of Guildcast and everything. And he even said in that email, he's not a forums person. And I think a lot of people aren't forums people. And, you know, on I think it was the very first show, I said, I go through, I read the forums, and then I can use the podcast as kind of a way to tell everyone what's on the forums.
Yeah.
So I think that works good for the people who aren't forums people. Even though, you know, it's funny that we do have a pretty busy forum ourselves, but but the podcast itself, I think, works well for those people who don't want to sit in front of the computer and look through all these forums and find the latest news. I think you're right. You know, even the best players in the world can't always read every single forum and keep up with every piece of news.
Yeah, I mean, I visit the Guildcast forums, but I'm not on any of those major forums unless something specific is happening on them that I want to post in a certain thread.
Yeah.
You know, and usually it's just because somebody tells me, oh, hey, check out this thread.
Yeah.
It's not because I found it, you know. I don't have time to wade through all that stuff.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of my news just from the main guildwars.com website. They've increased their news a lot in the last probably 6 months.
That's good.
You know, they used to just cover major news every once in a while. Now, you know, they have the Scribe, they have the PvP Primer.
To tell you the truth, I haven't read a single episode of the Scribe.
Really?
No.
That's pretty good.
I might have skimmed through one at the beginning, but... So anyway, we'll try to incorporate different levels in all. Because, you know, you're always going to get people say, do more high level. And then you get other people say, you know, I got an email recently that the person said, you know, I started listening to your show even though I'm, like, really new and most of the stuff goes right over my head, you know. So, it you know, there's everyone to cater to.
Yeah, exactly. And if I had the time, like, say if I got paid to do this, like as a full-time job, I would do an advanced guildcast and a beginner's guildcast. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Okay, so let's go on to the next email. It says, hey, Sean, I just wanted to say thanks for making such a great podcast. It keeps me entertained while I work every day. I was listening to one of the podcasts from back in September, and you were asked what kept your interest in the game. I know that for me personally, I have gamer ADD, that's what I was talking about a minute ago, where my interest always goes from one game to the next. I would have to say that what has been a blessing for me is the 6-month release schedule. Guild Wars has been the longest I've consistently played a game ever, and I've been playing games since the Atari. Do you agree that the release cycle has helped keep your interest? Thanks again, Akari Kamaru. For me personally, I don't think the release schedule is exactly what's kept my interest. There are so many things, other things in the game that's really kept my interest. Like I said, I do have a bit of the gamer ADD, but I've recently been dabbling in other games. Like I have an Xbox, and I love driving games, and I'm not really a first-person shooter, but I also love RTS, stuff like that, and I'll dabble in those every once in a while, just enough to make me go, I think I want to go play Guild Wars again, you know? So I don't think anything that, as far as the release schedule, has really affected my interest in the game. It's just the game itself. I mean, it's such a great game. How about you?
Well, the release schedule probably is, because it brings new content on a pretty regular basis. You know, by the time Factions came out, we were really ready for Factions to, you know, arrive. You know, I've said this a couple times, but, you know, like, I started getting bored with the game in 2005, and then they brought out, you know, like, Sorrow's Furnace and the Halloween event, and there was a couple of new interesting things, and then they started bringing out information about Factions, so I started getting interested in the game again. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't played with Nightfall as much as I had expected that I was going to. You know, I went back and was playing a bunch of Factions the past week or so. You know.
Yeah, I heard you. I've heard you recanted your hatred for Factions.
I said it.
Actually, playing.
I said it wasn't so bad after all.
Yeah.
No, but what happened was I got my my Mesmer up through Cavalon and House of Heltzer, which is the point that I had brought all my other characters up to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once I got my, you know, the Befriend titles, or not titles, but the quests, so you can continue, mm-hmm. I realized, hey, there's only 4 missions till the end of the game, so I just grabbed all my other characters and did those last 4 missions on all of them. So my friends and my guildies are really sick of me, like, saying, hey, who wants to do Gaiala Hatchery again? And then, but I was really surprised, you know, doing alliance battles and stuff, there are a lot of people still there.
Really? That's good, though.
I really thought that, you know, Factions was going to be completely dead after Nightfall mm-hmm. was released. And, you know, I think a lot of the areas were kind of deserted for a little while. But it's bustling.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to, you know, ABing more, because I really enjoy that.
All right. So for our next email, it's from Extra Angry Dog, is his name. He says, hey, Sean, I was wondering if you had any solutions to a problem I've had with Nightfall. About every 20 minutes, my computer either crashes or restarts. It's impossible to get through the game, and it's taken me a month to get to the mainland in Nightfall on one character. I'm not sure how to fix this, and that if either more RAM or a better graphic card would solve the problem. My in-game name is Extra Angry Dog, so if you know how to fix this problem, please message me. I actually did message him about this, because, and the reason I wanted to read this on the show, too, is I've had this exact same problem. I know I'm not a computer expert, and nor do I claim to be, but I had a problem for a while there where it kept crashing over and over again, and it was basically a dirty heat sink on my processor, and I just took that off and blew all the dust out of it and haven't had a problem since. So I told him that, and I said, you know, you might want to try it, and I haven't heard back from him yet, so maybe that helped out. So that's just for anybody else, you know, who might be having a hardware problem or an overheating problem with the game. I know the game requires a lot from your computer, so overheating might be an issue, something like that, with dust, you know. But just thought I'd throw that out there.
Cool.
That's my tech tip of the day.
Yay.
Okay, so this next one is from Spine Hellspawn. They say, hello, Sean. Guildy to me in Guild Wars suggested to listen to your episode 56 about farming. I enjoyed the show a lot. Anyway, I was thinking it might be very interesting to talk about the antisocial aspect that some people feel is taking over due to most people going henchway or hero way with both PvP and PvE. I'm a guild leader, and I feel I'm losing my guildies to antisocialness. An example is from my guild. One guildy logs on, and that he says he will try this bloody mission without even asking for help from guildies, so he tries it with heroes and fails. Then I suggest we can come along and help him, but then he says it's time for sleep, or he has to go for different reasons, and it just upsets me, like he just logs off because he doesn't want help or something. Let's see. He says, a guildie said to me, heroes, in my opinion, are like two-bladed swords. Sometimes pugs are just plain horrible, but thanks to heroes, you can complete that thing you were trying to do. Then again, like you said, that makes the game antisocial. And then they go on a little bit more. But what do you think about that? I know we've talked about that before, about the heroes, and it's kind of ironic that this MMO is kind of getting away from the multiplayer aspect of it. But what do you think about that?
Well, some people like playing by themselves, and some people would rather party up with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a guildie who he just prefers to hench things. And, you know, he still talks to us and stuff like that, but he just prefers to just play by himself, you know? That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I would say most of the time I'm actually like that too. I like to just grab heroes and henchies the rest of the party and then just go out and do my thing. And I know there's a lot of people like that. I know, like, Lysander's like that, and I know, you know, a couple other people are like that. But that's something that Guild Wars has that a lot of other MMOs don't have, just that option, where you can either go with people or you can basically make it a single-player game, you know, almost.
Right.
So, and I like that part of it. I know, and then, you know, someday I might want to go with a full group, you know, but it's nice to be able to have that choice.
Right. You know, so it's like, you know, if I've had a couple missions that I needed to do, and when there was people, you know, surprisingly, there's still a lot of people in different areas of Cantha. One day when I needed to do Unwaking Waters, I jumped into a group and there was five real people in it, you know? And, you know, it's pretty easy mission, so we got through it. But, you know, then there was another one where that Jordan and I were doing, and we jumped into a pug, and it was just that they were so uncoordinated, and it was terrible. We were like, okay, when we all died, I said, okay, it's time to hench a hero this one. So, you know, sometimes I'm willing to, like, help people out and show them the way and stuff, but, you know, if they're, like, not very intelligent, I would rather just hench it.
Yeah, and I don't think Anet, you know, made the heroes for any other reason than the fact that they knew that spreading all these people out on all these giant continents is going to make it to where you're going to need someone to play with, but they're not going to be there, you know, like in Cantha. Right. You know, by the time they're up to like chapter 5, who's going to be in Cantha anymore? So I think that heroes might have been their answer to that. So you can always have someone to play with. I don't think they did it for, you know, any kind of antisocial aspect of it.
Right. Yeah, because that's one thing is, you know, sometimes it seems like there's less people around, but one of the major things is everybody's just spread out now in at least the PvE environment. Yeah. You know, some of them are over in this continent, some are over there, and, you know, it used to be, you know, that there's a much smaller area that people were packed into.
Yep. Okay, this next one is from a guy named Kirk. He doesn't give an in-game name. And he says, hey Sean, I just wanted to say thanks for putting out the Guildcast. I just began playing Guild Wars Prophecies in October and have loved it. As a fellow gaming geek, I love being able to not only waste my time in front of a computer playing and reading all the various FAQs, thanks GameFact.com, and also now listening to Guildcast on my iPod. I wanted to mention that I recently listened to the Monk episode with Loudon Swain, and I thought he was great. I love the casual...
No!
I had to read that. I love the casual conversation between you, Lady Sinea, and Loudon Swain. I hope he can come back on the show again. I also had a couple of ideas and requests for the show. I'd love to hear you take some time in the coming shows to revisit your core character classes to discuss some popular strategies and skills.
Booyah!
I know you've suggested that before. With the continued adjustments, nerfing, and relation to new classes, I know you could go through them all each week. But maybe could just have a show with all of the original six classes and just touch on some of the major changes that have taken place and how the characters are traditionally being played now that we are a couple years into the life cycle of the game. Another idea I had was if you could have a short weekly section of this versus that. You could look at two popular skills, for example, Vampiric Touch versus Vampiric Gaze, and weigh the various strategies and methods for how and why to play each. Obviously, there is the physical distance between the two, but there is more than that. Whether you want to be within reaching distance or just within view affects what type of armor you get, which kind of skills you use along with it, and more. Listening to Monk episode number 40 got me thinking about how many different ways you can play with the various discussions between healing spells, and some of us rookies just grab the first and coolest looking builds and miss some hidden gems in our skill set. He's got some really good points there.
I like that skill versus skill thing a lot.
Yeah, me too.
As you're reading it, I was just thinking, hey, you know, if you take a warrior necro and use vampiric touch and... But yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I do too, especially with things like that that are so closely related, you know. And you might look at, like, for example, Protective Spirit and Protective Bond. Is that Protective Bond is the one... Protective Spirit is the
that
one
that got nerfed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So... But I mean, there's a lot of skills like that that are really, even in the title of the skill, you know, that are closely related. And you might look at both of them and say, what's the difference? So, yeah, that would be a really good idea.
That would be fun. And we could do, like, ones where you debate which minion skills are better than others.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, since there's so many of them.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So, Kirk, there you go. If I do this segment later on, it's all because of you.
And you could do it as a just a segment.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Discussing it, or you could discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd probably be more interesting.
You mean like a whole show dedicated to it, or?
No, but like, you know, take like two skills and.
Oh yeah.
Go over
yeah.
it and point counterpoint it.
I have so many segments now. To introduce a new one would be. A lot, but yeah, I usually alternate segments anyway, so this might be something I could throw into the mix.
Yeah. And also, revisiting all of the, core professions, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like you said, since all the nerfs and the changes and everything, yeah. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Okay, so this next one, this is just a short one from, Lucian in my guild. He just wants to say happy birthday to Chio, because it's his birthday. Coming up. He didn't say what day, but I know it's coming up pretty soon. So he just wants to say happy birthday to you. So happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Okay, so this next one...
Sing happy birthday, Sean.
Yeah, right. You're the singer, not me. This next one says... It's from Arrowmill of Ascalon. And he says, hey, Sean. First of all, I'm Arrowmill, a level 15 warrior monk and pretty new to the game. I love playing Guild Wars and the sheer amount of content in the game. I'm also new to the podcast and I really love it. It contains great information for a noob like me, and it's helped out a lot with figuring out how things and people work in the game. However, the thing that is still a big blob of fog to me is the economy in the game and how it seems to control everything in the game. I also see that people in the game spent hours in towns trying to sell their items. However, there are a lot of people who sell their stuff in less than 15 minutes. Now, I'm wondering if there's a special method to sell or buy your items and a way of keeping track of the economy because the prices are always changing. I would love it if you could maybe spend a little time in one of your shows on this topic. Yeah. Well.
So what's the easy trick, Sean?
That's probably one of the most complex parts of... That, you know, there's no real instruction manual for the economy of Guild Wars. I would say the best advice I could give is to go on guildwarsguru.com. They have an auction tab at the top. And I'm not promoting Guild Wars Guru or anything like that, but they are the biggest and they are, you know, the most popular. But what I would do is go there, go to the auction tab and just look through there. There's buying, there's selling, there's things like this, and it's all for in-game gold. You know, none of it is illegal. So you just go on there and you see if you want, if you have something that you want to sell, you check through there, see if it's available that someone else is selling or wants to buy, and you see what price they have listed. And that'll give you a good starting point for, you know, how much you want to sell it for. You can either put it in those auctions there on the website, or you could try to sell it in game for a similar price. Me personally, I don't sell anything anymore. I did it at first for a while. I used to sell wood in Drachner's Forge for parchment. And now it's just, it's such a hassle. It's such a waste of time to me. I don't even do it anymore. So the economy is pretty much beyond me. But I would say that'd be a good starting point, guildwarsguru.com.
Well, some items are easy to sell. You can find, like, if you find a good rune, you can tell how much it costs by going and checking the trader and seeing what the buy price is and what the sell price is, and then selling it for somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing goes for dye, you know, things like that. For specific items, what I do a lot of times is I'll just go to Google, because I don't search forums, like, you know. I go to Google, I'll punch in Guild Wars, you know, such and such mod, and price, and click. And I'll usually get some kind of thread, I don't know from what forums, and they'll have discussion of prices.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes I used to have a good reference for, like, a mod thread that it discussed all the general prices of a bunch of different mods, so that you could see, like, you know, is it worth it to try to sell this bow, or should I just salvage off the perfect vampiric string off of it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another thing, is if you keep up on what's perfect, what's max as far as mods and everything like that, you can get a pretty good idea of what something's worth. And a lot of times I'll just sell something to the merchant, even if it's gold, and it doesn't have any kind of max mod or anything. Or maybe I'll just salvage the max mod off and then sell the item to the merchant, you know, for whatever, 300 gold, whatever they'll give me for it.
I sell tons of gold items to the merchant because they're just not worth it.
Yeah.
Some other things, so yeah, you pointed out if it's a max item or if it is a near max, then it's more likely to sell.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're standing around in town trying to sell something that's not max, you'll be there for hours because nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah.
Some of the, you can find out which items are more hot. What do people want more? You might find an item that's, it is max and it should be worth a lot, but for some reason, you know, nobody buys it.
Yeah.
And it might not be worth your time. Just merch it.
And another thing that is, that can really drive up the price is new skins. People love new skins. If you got something that, you know, like the Crystalline Sword or Chaos Axe or something like that, that people just go crazy over the looks of it. They don't care about the stats because they can always add their own mods to it. A lot of times a clean weapon max with a skin that is desirable will sell for a lot of money also.
Right, depending on what the rec is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so I wanted to point out, I was telling a guildie about some of this the other day, saying, you know, if it's max or near max, then it's worth selling. And so he, you know, was asking about some item where the damage was not max. And he said, hey, it's near max. And I said, no. Not if the item's damage is near max. Nobody's going to buy anything if that part of it is not max.
Yeah. And especially with green items, it's really hard to tell how much a green item is worth, because it's all basically demand, you know.
Right. Well, I would do the same thing as I would do with item upgrades, is I would find a list that was, you know, somewhat up to date that said how much the greens were worth. And I loved buying and selling greens because there's pretty much no question about what it costs, you know. It's not like, oh God, I have to figure out the requirement and whether this mod is worth anything. You know, it's like,
yeah, yeah,
bam, you know, which item you have and does anybody want it?
Yeah, so I would say if you're someone who is interested in the economy of Guild Wars, you really have to do your research and dedicate yourself to knowing all about the mods, all about what max is for each weapon, know what's in demand. You know, you just got to keep up on it if it's something you're really interested in. I personally, like I've said, there's two things I'm bad at in Guild Wars. Well,
only?
There's two things that stick out that I'm bad at Guild Wars. There's running and there's price checking. Although I still get asked to run people places and I still get asked what the price on things. But it's just because I don't pay attention to prices. If I want something and I know where it drops, I'm going to go farm for it or I'm going to go try to get it. I'm not going to buy it. And if I get something, I'm probably going to give it away as a prize or something, or, you know, give it to a hero or something. I'm definitely not. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a good chance I'm not going to sell it, especially in a town. So I'm not up on that kind of stuff at all. You just gotta, if you do choose to get into the economy, you just gotta do it and research.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people out there who write up information about this, and you can find lists.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one, actually, this guy wrote two of them, and I'm not going to read them both because they're pretty long. One of them I actually read on the Wishlist show, where he's the one that was talking about Chapter 4 being a Central Asian theme with Russian and West Mongolian and all that. And the rest of his email is pretty interesting. Now, I wanted to say something about this because this guy, he seems very, very intelligent. He writes up, he sent me two emails, just enormous emails about all kinds of things, about stats and what he would like to see. And he figured all this stuff out, and it's just great. They're great emails. I can't possibly read all of it, you know, on the show, but I just wanted to say thanks to him. His name is, let's see if I get this right, Ashti Kankano, I think. And it's funny because at the end of one of his emails, he says, if you say the name as fast as you can get the pronunciation correct. So, Ashti Kankano. There we go. I hope that's right. But, yeah, he talks a lot about, in the email he sent for the wish list, he talks a lot about the char and how they would be like a Russian theme, like I said. But he makes a pretty cool point here. He says, haven't you guys ever wondered what a char woman and child look like? So he really gets into, you know, the whole depth of storyline. You
there
know,
is
the
no
char.
Such thing. They are all beasts.
There's no female char?
No. Well, maybe they are, but they're all animals.
You've never seen Char running around with a dress or lipstick or anything?
That would be frightening.
Yes. He also talked about mounts in his wish list. So then his second email that he sent, let's see, is a whole email on mounts. And he goes into, let's see, 10 different points in paragraph form of what, you know, the benefits of having a mount. And like I said, I won't read it all here, but he really makes a good argument. And this guy should be working for ArenaNet because he's definitely an intelligent guy. So I just want to thank him for those, even though I'm not really officially reading them on the show, but just want to thank him.
Cool. If he's got a whole bunch of good ideas, he should post them on some of the large forums. Because
yeah,
ArenaNet employees read those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gail said that a few times, that if you have any kind of ideas for the future chapters or anything, post them in, you know, one of the major ones. And by major, I mean, you know, GuildWarsGuru.com, GWOnline.net. Those are probably the two biggest. ArenaNet does not read our forums, so so don't post them there.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, they don't they don't accept emailed ideas. Mm-hmm. And probably that has something to do with, you know, the rights to the ideas and such, you know, so that nobody could say, hey, I emailed that idea to you 5 months before you came out with it. I should get a cut, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think they've said that before where anybody, if they started accepting emails, anybody could just say that. You know, anybody could say, hey, I emailed you that.
Even if, you know, they said, well, we had this idea way before you emailed it, there would be no proof of that, you know? So.
Yeah. But it's good that they even accept, you know, suggestions and all that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because not everybody does that. So that's cool. And then I got an email from, this is a nice email from Bartaman Pie, who's in the forums. And he's great. Have you read his posts? They're all like poems. And
is he the one who like writes these like epic songs about his questions?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Great. I know, they all rhyme and everything. He wrote a little one here for us for Winter's Day.
Okay,
let's see if I can read this without messing up the prose. It says, "Those Grinches really got us on this winter's day. I'll have lost my poems, which fills me with dismay. But we're still behind you, Sean, so do what must be done. We'll start afresh but stronger. Happy new dawn, everyone." Bartaman Pie.
Cool.
So that was a cool little poem for us there. Yeah, but his posts in the forums, he's always... And they're long, too. He just comes up with these, like, bam, and they're like current events, so it's not like something he's been working on for a long time.
Right.
It's like a response to a post, and it's a whole poem. It's awesome. I wish I could do that. So then this last one is from Flipside, who's Flipside Parallel, who's in my guild. Okay. He just basically wants to know if we could mention the Guildcast page on dig.com, which is www.dig.com, that's digg.com/podcasts/guildcast. And if you go to that link, you can dig a podcast, or they have a feature now where you can dig podcasts, and this is to dig Guildcast, basically. And I think we have 30-some digs so far, but like he says, I know we can do a lot better. So he's trying to push for us. That's good. And
it was like 32 last time I checked.
32? Okay. Yeah. So I know we won't get up there as far as, you know, some of the bigger ones, but it'd be cool to get a few more digs on there. And then he also talks about the Flickr pool that he is in. I don't know if he started this or if he's just in it, but if you go to Flickr, flickr.com/groups/guildwars, he has a, it's basically a group of people who have got together and they put up screenshots. And I went and I checked this out, and it's pretty cool. There's a lot of screenshots on there. Let me see. I'm check it out right now. 312 photos. So he's got quite a bit, or I say he, but they have got quite a bit. There's 48 members altogether. So it's basically like a big pool of people, of players, who get together and they put up their own screenshots. So I thought I'd throw that out there. It's flickr.com/groups/guildwars if you would like to take part in
that.
That
is cool.
Yeah.
Taking a look at it. It's got a whole bunch of things in it.
He's even got a little Guildcast thing in there.
Cool. Yeah, he sent that to me too.
Oh, okay. Hey, let's I see that right there.
Yay. Well, I've got a couple that are, they're a few weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
But, one person named, his name is Will. He said, "First, let me start by saying that I've recently found Guildcast, and I think it's awesome. Thanks to you and Sean for putting on a great show. As a relative newcomer to Guild Wars, it is a show that is very informative. Anyway, just a quick question. Over the last couple of days, I've noticed something strange. Now when I use my expert salvage kit to salvage certain items, in particular certain blue items, it shows that I cannot salvage them. This never used to be a problem. Do you have any idea of why this might be?" So I wrote back to him after he wrote this to me, but I figured we'd talk about it here as well in case anybody was wondering. But what I suspected was that he was trying to salvage items that he had received as quest rewards.
Yeah.
And those don't salvage.
Or the collectors... Do collectors' items salvage? I don't think they do they?
Well, they don't come with any mods on them.
But I mean, as far as materials.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they do. And also, ones that you get from the heroes. If you take off
right,
their
so
old
ones. You can't
ones.
Sell them or anything, yeah. And another one that I ran across was... There's a quest in Nightfall where you get a rune of minor vigor,
mm-hmm.
and you can't sell it. Yeah. You just have to use it. So that was that.
Okay.
And then Critina Starfire wrote in about a scam that he saw, and this is in Cantha. He said, there are always people hanging around in Saitung Harbor selling captured sun letters for that quest that's, like, kind of hard if you're not very high level yet. And he said, there was one guy running around in the English 1 district on Monday evening, this was a couple weeks ago, but who said that he got scammed when he tried to buy one. I checked it out, and he was correct. Since the current price for captured sun letters is 1.5K, the scammers can make quite a lot of cash in a short space of time. All scammers do is sell you a very similar item that looks plausible. Instead of letter to Jitoro's mother that you get from the captured sun quest, they sell you letter to mom that I think comes from one of the Istan quests in Nightfall.
Yep.
So that's probably a lot easier to get, so you can farm for it really quick.
Yep, that's right.
Since it is mostly newbies who, by their very nature, don't have much cash to spare, by that letter they can get easily fooled. So I hadn't known that, that seems very feasible that people could get scammed by that easily.
Yeah, I do remember that letter to mom, and I'm not sure if that was easier to get than the captured son one. I guess it is, though, if people are pulling off that scam. But yeah, I guess people should just be aware of that.
And that's it. I have no more emails. But in other news, we didn't know if those new treasures that are in Alona would stay or not, like, after the Winter's Day Festival is over. And apparently they're permanent.
Cool.
So I had some guildies who were, like, racing to get their characters through so they can get all the treasures before the holiday event was over. But now they don't have to stress out anymore.
Yeah, I really like those things. I went through, I only did, like, two of my characters and went through and got a lot of those. Actually, Loudon took me through and showed me the first few of them. But that's pretty neat. Got some nice skins, too, on a lot of those items.
You know, I didn't even notice. If they didn't have any good mods, and if I didn't need them for a hero, they off to the merchant they went. But I saved them all so I could ID them for the title.
Yeah.
And then a couple of them give you gems. I got a diamond from one.
Oh, yeah, I got a ruby from one, too, yeah.
Yeah. And then also there's kind of a little bit of a delay when you, after you touch the item and it opens up.
Yeah.
Like, it at first it looked like nothing was dropping for me, but then, you know, you wait 2 seconds and then the gold item would appear. So I've seen people think that there was nothing for them and then just leave, but something actually did drop for them.
Yeah, and I've noticed also, I had this happen when I was with Loudon. It didn't look like you couldn't see the actual item on the ground. You had to put your mouse, I had to move my mouse around and around to find where it was at. It didn't just show up. That's probably just some little, you know, little graphic bug that they need to iron out. But
I don't know, because I'm always constantly just hitting the control and alt buttons.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because on my first one, I was like, where is it? I was asking Loudon. He says, yeah, that happened to me too. Sometimes you just have to look around for it because it doesn't just show up like other drops do. So I don't know.
Yeah, it just seemed like there was like a little bit of a delay before it does show.
Yeah.
So what did you do on New Year's?
In game?
Otherwise, whatever.
Well, I actually was in game on New Year's, sadly enough. I know for Winter's Day, when, you know, with getting the hats and everything, I got together with a few guildies and went ahead and got all the hats. And it's funny because since I have two accounts, I had two computers going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I would have one in one district getting a Duena hat, and then the other one in the other district getting the Grenth horns or whatever. And it worked out to where I got all four of them for, well, actually eight altogether, four for each account. And I got them all in two turns, you know. So it was, and then when the presents started dropping, that was fun, going back and forth between the computers, grabbing presents. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
What'd you do?
Well, I went to a party, and there was a good few hundred people there. And, you know, some people were drinking too much eggnog and things like that. And then some weird, like, deities showed up at the party. And they started you know, taking candy cane shards from us. And, and then, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I was in game two.
Well, I figured that because I don't know what goes on outside of the game, so. So everything is in game to me.
Yeah.
First, I thought you were talking about those, they had, I guess they were called like Bearded Man or something like that. Did you see those?
No.
They were ANET employees who were going around and getting the presents that were stuck up on the ledge.
Oh, yes.
That was funny. I guess they were called Bearded Man, and there were these ANET employees that were going up there and getting these presents. It's kind of
funny.
Well,
some of them, you know, they would just had their normal names. One of my guildies got some screenshots of it.
Oh, really?
And he was talking in purple chat just like Gail does.
Oh,
and he
cool.
was just explaining, you know, some people, if they were standing too close to the ledge in Commandant, then their presence would get stuck up there. So they were grabbing them, you know.
Yeah, keeping it all for themselves.
I'm not so sure about that, but you could tell that they were employees, though, because when his name was highlighted, it was purple. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I want that. No, actually, I don't. Those Grenches really got us on this winter's day. I already messed it up. Let me start over.
I guess, like, you can play shuffleboard against people. Oh, pwned!
I pwned you, Grandpa. You're such a noob.
They're little newbies. Sean, will you get me awesome items? Sean, can you power level me? Sean, can I have a plus 30 hit point mod? Sean, can I get a job working with you? Sean, can I meet Gail Gray? I'm one of those crazy people who, like, listens to the Guildcast episodes more than once.